It's good to see you all out this morning. It's great to be back with you in points past. I'm not sure how long ago it is now. It's maybe nearly a year ago since I was here at a gospel service, but it's great to be back and to see you all, and great to see the church so well filled. It's always good to be in a church where there's good singing, and you can hear the singing. When you're in a church where there's good singing, it means I can sing out, because my singing's not that tar. But it's great to be here this morning. Anyway, I want to thank Nigel for his warm words of welcome and for leading the services today. And to your pastor, David, of course, for the invitation. I know David's away in England at the moment. And I was going to say we trust the Lord will give him a time of refreshment. But by the sounds of it, he's busy enough. He's here, there and everywhere. But we trust nevertheless that even as he's preaching this morning, that the Lord will continue to bless him. If you turn in God's word this morning with me, please, to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. I want to look upon the subject this morning, the spirit of the saint. The spirit of the saint. And we're in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll begin reading at verse number 1. Let's read God's word together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light, through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Amen. And we do indeed trust that the Lord will bless the public reading of his holy inspired word to our hearts this morning. We're coming, as I've said already this morning, to think upon this topic for a little while or so, the spirit of the saint. The spirit of the saint. Here in 2 Timothy we see the Apostle Paul. He's writing to his young intern, or his young brother, if you will, in Timothy, a young man in the faith, who Paul had took great interest in, and he had sort of took Timothy under his wing. And we see him here this morning in this passage. He's trying to encourage Timothy, but he's also trying to challenge Timothy. And I trust this morning that as we come to the message that God has laid in my heart today, that we'll be both encouraged and challenged by the word of God today. We're going to be spending the majority of our time this morning in verse number 7. That's our subject verse for this morning. But before we get there, firstly, I just want to take the time to look at the beginning of this letter to Timothy and to see what we can glean from it, first of all. Firstly, I want you to see with me Paul's greeting. Paul's greeting. Paul begins his letter to Timothy here, as he usually does, by introducing himself as the writer. He says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. He introduces who he is firstly, but then he introduces who he is in Christ. He's an apostle according to the will of God. We see who the letter is from, but then we see who the letter is to. Verse 2 says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. You see that the letter is to Timothy. Now, if you know your Bible this morning, you'll know, of course, that Paul is not Timothy's actual father. He's not Timothy's biological father. But yet the relationship between the two had a very father-son type feel to it. Timothy was very much under the wing of Paul. He learnt much from Paul. He was encouraged by Paul. He was guided by Paul. And he was challenged by Paul. And we can see the progression and the closeness really in their relationship over time. If you flick back to the first letter to Timothy, if you flick back with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and the parallel verse, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 2, you'll see there it says, "Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith." But then when we flick to our passage this morning, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 2, we see, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son." You see, by this time, Paul and Timothy had served together. They had known each other for a longer time. And so we see that the relationship had strengthened and the relationship had grown. And now Paul calls him my dearly beloved son. There was a close relationship between Paul and Timothy. And at this point, Paul was very important to Timothy. He was a wise confidant in Timothy's life, no doubt. And Timothy was a young man in the faith who Paul had great care for and a great interest in. We see Paul's greeting, but secondly, see with me Paul's gratefulness. Paul's gratefulness. Paul says in verse 3 that he thanks God for Timothy. He says, "I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee." He says he has remembrance of him night and day. He remembers him in prayer daily. I wonder this morning in points past, could it be said of each of us today that we are somebody like that? I wonder, is there somebody who's taking up the work in points past today to pray and to remember one another? Yes, to pray and to remember to encourage the young people, but to pray and to encourage the older ones too. I wonder, are our prayer lives this morning, are they as faithful, are they as thoughtful for our brothers and sisters in Christ as Paul's was? He remembered him in prayer, but then he goes on and he mentions Timothy's faith. He says in verse 5 that he thanks God for Timothy's unfeigned faith. That word unfeigned, it just means never wavering, steady, strong, genuine, sincere. I wonder, do you and I have a faith like that this morning? One that is steady, one that is strong, but also one that is genuine and one that is sincere. You know, maybe this morning you repeat the promises of God in Scripture, but do we genuinely believe them in faith? We ought to have an unfeigned faith. He mentioned that it was seen firstly in his grandmother and in his mother also before it was seen in Timothy, a strong, steady, genuine faith. It's a great challenge to us this morning. I wonder, do each of us have that unfeigned faith? We see Paul's greeting, we see Paul's gratefulness, and then thirdly, see Paul's galvanizing. Paul's galvanizing. Now, you're looking at me this morning and you're thinking, boys, he's stretching it today with these G's, trying to get the alliteration in here. What on earth is galvanizing mean? Well, there's no surprise that I had to look it up and see what it meant. But that word galvanizing, it just means to spur on or to spark into action. And surely we see here this morning that Paul is trying to spur on Timothy. And he's trying to spark him into action. He says there in verse 6, "Stir up the gift of God which is in thee." You see, he wants Timothy to go on with the Lord. He wants Timothy to use his gifts for the Lord and to go all out for God. And surely that should be the goal of every saint here this morning in points past. To go on with the Lord, to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to go all out for God. I wonder, is that you this morning? You know, we live in a world today where there's a lot of so-called Christians and they'll attend the morning meeting and that'll do them for the week. And they'll go on and they'll live life Monday to Saturday like the rest of the world, like everybody else. And they'll attend the one service on a Sunday morning and that'll do them. And they're complacent. And they don't really care that much. I wonder, is that you this morning? I wonder, is that me this morning? You see, we see here that we ought to have a faith like this, one that is all out for God, a life that is completely surrendered to Him. I was listening to a sermon on Facebook not that long ago, and it was our brother John Weir, the evangelist, and he was speaking in the Iron Hall. And he said something that really challenged me, and he talked about the Apostle Paul, and he said the Apostle Paul, he was a debtor to Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul owed his life to Jesus Christ, gave everything. And this man, John Weir, he gave out the challenge in the Iron Hall, and he said, where's the debtors to Jesus Christ? Where are the debtors to Jesus Christ today? Where are the saints of God today who are all out for Him? It's a great challenge to each of us this morning. We see Paul's greeting, Paul's gratefulness, Paul's galvanizing. But today, as I've said this morning, we want to focus on this subject, the spirit of the saint. And as I've said already, we're focusing in on verse number 7. Let's just remind ourselves of verse number 7. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to focus this morning on three characteristics of the spirit of the saint, characteristics that you and I ought to have as the people of God today. And we see them listed there in verse 7. We see that we ought to have the spirit of power, we ought to have the spirit of love, and we ought to have a spirit of a sound mind. Three characteristics of the spirit of the saint. But before we look at the characteristics we ought to have, it's important to note what we're not to have. You see, before he lists these three characteristics, Paul firstly, importantly mentions that we're not to have the spirit of fear. God's people are not meant to fear. You and I this morning who are saved, you and I who have had that moment in our lives where we came to a realization of our need of the Lord Jesus Christ, we came to a realization of our need of salvation, and we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we were washed by His precious blood, and we were adopted into the family of God. You and I were told this morning, child of God, we have nothing to fear. Nothing. Why? Because we serve an almighty God. We serve the one who is all-powerful, almighty, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. But I wonder, do we just read that off the page this morning, or do we really take that in? Do we really realize this morning that we serve the Alpha and Omega? The one who created everything that we see, the one that the scriptures could say, in whom all things consist. We are children of the Most High God this morning, if you're saved today. John 10 and 28 could say, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Christian, this morning, we have nothing to fear because no man can pluck you out of his hand. I wonder, are you afraid of circumstances this morning? No man can pluck you out of his hand. I wonder, are you afraid of this cost of living crisis this morning? No man can pluck you out of his hand. I wonder, are you afraid of the raging wars in Israel and Ukraine this morning? No man can pluck you out of his hand. Are you afraid of your future this morning, the unknown? No man can pluck you out of his hand. We are eternally joined to Him through His blood. Nothing can separate you and I from Him. You'll remember in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, the Apostle Paul, he lists all of those things that can never separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Child of God, this morning, you've nothing to fear. I was watching a video a couple of days ago. It came up either on Instagram or Facebook, and it was these people discussing the question, what's the most important number in the Bible? What's the most important number in the Bible? Now, we could sit here all morning and discuss it and debate what we think is the most important number in the Bible. Perhaps it's the number 3, of course, representing the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Perhaps it's the number 7, the number of completion, the number of perfection. Perhaps you could argue it's the number 12, the number of divine order. You'll remember there was the 12 tribes, there was the 12 disciples. But these folks that were discussing, what's the most important number in the Bible? And one of these men, he spoke up and he said he believed that the most important number in the Bible was zero. And everybody looked at him and thought he was a bit crazy. And you might look at me and think that's a bit strange this morning. How could the number zero be the most important number in the Bible? But this man, he said he believed that the number zero was the most important number in the Bible because of these verses. We've thought of Romans 8 and verse 38 and 39, of all those things that can never separate you from the love of God. And he would say, like the number zero, like the amount of things that can separate us from the love of God. Zero. He could flick you to Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. And we could think of that number zero again, like the amount of things that are impossible to God. Zero. We could think of Psalm 23 and think of the number zero again, like the amount of things we lack with God as our shepherd. You'll remember in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And so number zero might be one of the most important numbers in the Bible, more than you thought even this morning. But in Romans 8 again, and in verse 31, it says those lovely encouraging words, "If God be for us, who can be against us?" What an empowering verse that is this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? You slot any name in there this morning. You slot any problem you have in your life in there this morning. If God be for us, who can be against us? Child of God this morning, take encouragement into the week that lies ahead. You have nothing to fear because you serve an almighty God this morning. Let's think upon these three characteristics quickly this morning in verse number 7. Paul says, firstly, that we're to have the spirit of power. The spirit of power. Surely we would agree this morning that perhaps when we look around the world today and we see the state that it is in, we could say that the church today, it doesn't have much power. We could ask this morning, where is the power? Where is the power of the coming together of God's people? You know, this morning, so many have forsaken the local church. They're happy and they're content, as I've said already, to take part in organizations, to join parachurch organizations, but when it comes to obeying God's command to be added to the local church, well, they're not interested. They've forgotten and they've forsaken the assembling of themselves together. And we could ask this morning, where is the power of the coming together of God's people? We could ask this morning, where is the power in the preaching? Many churches today, the preaching is watered down. It's weak. It's almost godless. Some churches today, especially in Northern Ireland, in the evening they'll have a pop quiz or they'll have a get-together. No effort at all to sound aloud the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many churches even today that don't have an evening service. And on a Sunday evening you could drive by and the place in darkness. And they're failing to share that good news of a Savior in Jesus Christ. We could think, where's the power in the preaching? And they say, oh, we can't call people sinners, that's offensive. We can't tell people they're going to hell, that's hate speech. Folks, this morning it's God's word. And his word is truth. We don't call people sinners this morning to be offensive. We call them sinners this morning because that's what they are in the eyes of God. And child of God this morning, never forget, that's what you and I were in the eyes of God before we came to faith in him. Never take pride in your own salvation. You and I are no better than anybody else. Where's the power this morning? You see, if the church this morning is lacking in power, well then, surely we ought to go to the source of power. And who's the source of power this morning? Well, of course, the source of power is God. The disciples were given power when the Holy Ghost came upon them in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and that day of Pentecost. Acts 1 and 8 could say, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You see, you and I this morning, we ought to go to the source of power, and that is God himself. You and I ought to have close fellowship with him, to feel that sense of his power. Wouldn't you agree with me this morning that when you're in a good spell with the Lord and you're enjoying his word and you're living for him, you can feel his power. You can feel his presence, almost as if you could reach out and touch it. Oh, how I long for those days to come back. You and I, we ought to be walking close with Christ to feel his power in our lives. You know, if you picture a lamp this morning, if you picture a lamp sitting maybe in the good room in the house or in the living room, and it looks great, and it's a lovely design, and it's a lovely colour, and it matches the wallpaper and everything's perfect. But friends, if you don't plug the lamp in to the power, it's not much use, is it? You and I this morning, as the children of God, folks, you and I are useless in the work for him if we're not plugged into the power. If we're not in continual devotion with him. If we don't have that daily infilling of his power. You and I, we can do nothing. He could say in his word, for without me, you can do nothing. Without him, we're useless. We have no power. Folks, this morning, if we want to have the power of God within us, if we want to see the power of God in this land again, if you want to see the power of God in Points Pass and the surrounding area again, well, then we ought to humble ourselves and we ought to submit to him. You see, power comes from God. You see, without him, who can stand? Without him, surely we'd be damned for all eternity. Surely we'd be lost without hope. You see, he's our power, he's our hope this morning. We ought to have the spirit of power, but we need to move on. Paul speaks in verse 7 of the spirit of power, but then he speaks of the spirit of love. The spirit of love, surely when we think of the characteristics of God this morning, we think of the characteristics of God's people in the church. Surely one of the first ones that ought to spring to mind almost immediately is love. We all know that verse and enjoy that verse. I'm sure we love him because he first loved us. The whole story of Christ and our salvation, surely it's based upon love. The great love that he had for us at the place of Calvary and where he laid down his life for you and I so that we might be saved. What love we see there. At the place of Calvary. And yet Paul here, he says that as the people of God, we ought to have the spirit of love. Turn with me quickly to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. I'll keep you as active, it'll stop you as falling asleep. 1 John 4 and verse 20. Very familiar verse. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? You see, we see here in 1 John that love is an obvious characteristic of God's people. In fact, it basically says that if we don't love them that are not of God, because God is love, well then how can we be a follower of God? How can we be a child of God who is love? You see, it's something we ought to have ingrained in us as Christians this morning, to love. And it's unfortunate to see, especially in Northern Ireland today, you'll walk into many churches, and I'm sure it's not the case in Points Pass, but you'll walk into many churches and they're very much deprived of love. There's not much love for each other. And sometimes there's certainly not much love for the lost. But yet this morning, you and I, we ought to have the spirit of love. We all know that great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I wonder, have you ever taken the time to fully absorb that commandment, to fully take in what it means to love your neighbour as yourself. You see, we in the world today, we're such a selfish people. It's all about us. It's all about me, me, me. It's all about what I can get out of it. We live in an age of selfies and people posting photos of themselves and so-called influencers. It's all about me. We live in the world of worshipping self. We live in a world of my body, my choice. Even the unborn child doesn't get a say anymore. People put themselves before everyone else. And yet Christ says we ought to love each other as ourselves. I wonder, are you doing that daily? I wonder, am I doing that daily? I wonder when folks look at you, when they look in at Points Pass Baptist Church, I wonder, do they see a people who have the spirit of love? I wonder, do they see the love of Christ? You see, remember, folks, this morning, you and I as followers of Christ, we ought to be reflecting his character. We ought to be growing in the faith each day, and we ought to be growing to be more like him. And surely as you read through those gospel accounts, those eyewitness accounts, surely there was such love shown by the Lord Jesus Christ. It could be said of him, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. There was no judgment in Jesus Christ. No, there was a great love. And surely that ought to be reflected in his people today. You see, that's what Christ commands. That's what Christ expects from his followers. You see, how could you and I, who have been bought with a price this morning, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's own Son, how could you and I not love the people around us who he also died for? He died for all. You see, he loved them so much that he laid down his life. And we ought to show that love to them. See, I wonder, are we fulfilling that command in our lives? We ought to have the spirit of love. I wonder, is it seen in our lives today? I wonder, can you honestly say this morning that you love your neighbours, that you love your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that you love the unsaved as much as we ought to today? Do they see the Spirit of God in your life? Turn again, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Another familiar verse. And above all things, have fervent charity. Or that word charity, it is just translated love. Have fervent love among yourselves, for love shall cover the multitude of sins. You see the importance of love, he says, above all things. You see, it's important that we love Christ, as we've thought of already this morning, as I'm sure later on at the table we'll think of again. He gave his life on Calvary for you and I. And he showed the ultimate display of love by taking our place in Calvary. Surely, child of God, this morning we ought to reflect his love this morning. Surely we've seen already the display of brotherly love between Paul and this young man, Timothy. Timothy was just a young man in the faith, remember, learning and growing in Christ, and yet Paul had a great care, a great love for Timothy. We've seen him there, he called him his dearly beloved son. There was a strong bond. I wonder, can that be said of you and I this morning? Could I challenge you this morning in Points Pass? Dear believer, this morning, do you have a love for the unsaved? Do you have a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you have a love for the young people in the fellowship? There's a lot of churches today, and they are vacant of young people. And it's sad to see. A lot of churches, and the average age of the membership is quite high. And it would give you fear for the future. And perhaps could the reason be because such believers have not taken the time to do what Paul is doing here in encouraging Timothy, in challenging Timothy. Sometimes, perhaps, I'm sure, correcting Timothy, but in love. It's a challenge to each of us this morning. We see there we ought to have the spirit of power, we ought to have the spirit of love, but we'll have to finish off. We'll see the spirit of a sound mind. The spirit of a sound mind. Isn't it a blessing this morning to know that in a world full of such chaos, a world full of such uncertainty and mess, you and I this morning, we can have a sound mind. It's not seen very much in the world today, is it? You see, you and I, we can have peace. That's all that means, to have peace. And you and I, child of God, this morning, we are promised a peace that passes all understanding. And a peace that, of course, that can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. You look around this morning and you look at people who are worried about the war in Israel. They're worried about the cost of living crisis. They're worried about government and politics. And yet you and I this morning in Christ, we have nothing to fear. Just like we thought of at the start of this message this morning, we can have peace in Christ. Turn with me to John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 27. John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 27. These are all familiar verses this morning, but it's always nice to have them out in front of us and to see the promises of God. John 14 and verse 27. I love this verse. You know, this verse takes me aback every time I read it. Such is the blessing you can get out of it. John 14 and 27. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking and he says this. Take this into the week with you this morning. Peace I leave with you. But here's the important part. My peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace I leave with you, my peace. You see, it's a peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the world's peace, it's only ever temporary, isn't it? You and I, we can have peace for a while, but then the chaos comes back and the uncertainty creeps in and the doubt comes in and we're back to square one. But you see, you and I, child of God this morning, we have a peace in Jesus Christ that lasts for all eternity. Peace. My peace. A peace from him. That's an amazing verse this morning. What a blessing to know that we have peace with God. I wonder, is there anyone in our gathering this morning, and perhaps you don't have that peace. Perhaps you don't know the Lord. You've never had that experience in life, that red letter day, so-called, when you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, and you've been able to claim that peace. The peace of Jesus Christ that passes all understanding. Why not come to him this morning? His salvation is freely offered to you today. Jesus Christ invites you to himself. Friend, you've no need to live in fear this morning. You've no need to be afraid of the chaos, to be afraid of the uncertainty. Jesus Christ offers you peace today. Would you not claim it today? Through life's cares and troubles, you and I, as the children of God, we can hold on to Jesus Christ. We can hold on to our anchor. You know, C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, the more the wind rages, the more you feel the anchor holds you. The more the wind rages, the more you feel the anchor holds you. And you know, folks, this morning, sometimes I sit back and think, how on earth do people who are not saved, people who do not have this peace, how do they go through life? How do they go out the front door every morning into the uncertainty of life without an anchor, Would you not claim that peace today? You and I in Christ, we have the spirit of a sound mind. Turn with me lastly to Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Listen to this for a verse. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We have not a spirit of bondage, but praise God, we have a heavenly Father who affords to us this morning a supernatural peace that lasts for all eternity. And in the struggles and in the toils and in the chaos of life, child of God, this morning, you and I can cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. What a blessing that is for the child of God this morning. Christian, this morning, take this peace with you into the week that lies ahead. I don't know what challenges you're facing today. I don't know what problems you're facing. How big they may be, how small they may be. But you see, in comparison to our great God this morning, they're insignificant. He can offer you a peace. Perhaps you and I today, as followers of Christ, we can be guilty sometimes of forgetting that God is on our side. Sometimes we're guilty of forgetting that we have that anchor in our lives. Child of God, claim his peace this morning. It's a peace that he's given to you. Won't you claim it today? What a blessing, what a privilege it is to be able to lay our head on a pillow at night and to have no fear. All because we know that in Christ we have a peace. And if anything were to happen to us, surely it could be said it would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. What a blessing this morning. We've seen this morning the spirit of the saint, the characteristics you and I ought to have as the people of God. The things that we can claim this morning as the bought bride of Christ. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and praise God this morning, the spirit of a sound mind. I trust each and every one of us will claim them this morning. We're